Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
I just get such a kick out of that little piece of a Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson on the stand. And Tom Cruise was cross-examining him about the murders of some soldiers. And I just can't get over that one little piece. But anyway,
you are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
What's good in the hood? What's going on? It's the Ron Kelly Show. The very first Ron Kelly Show. It's January 2nd, 2020. Happy New Year to everybody, and hope you all had a good time and you didn't drive drunk, because you know I hate drunk drivers. In any case, welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show for the second day of January 2020. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Jimmy Williams. Love you, my brother. Jimmy Williams, my dude. Shout out to you, my brother. I hope everything is well and you had a good time. Yesterday, which was the first day of 2020, so I hope everybody had a good time. I hope you didn't go out and drink and drive and didn't cuss anybody out. So I hope everybody had a good time. Anyway, shout out to all the good people I met yesterday at the Great American Emancipation Day Awards Banquet that was hosted by Liz Black, who was on 107.5 WBLS and WLIB. A good time was had by all. Okay, so yesterday marked the 157th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation that was declared by then President Abraham Lincoln, January 1st, 1863. Now, when black people were slaves, when black folks were slaves, we're talking about 157 years ago. And black folks were all slaves at the time. And you know, most of you know that black people weren't allowed to read or write or learn anything, and their entire existence was made to serve the white slave owners. So when they were so-called emancipated, they had no life skills. And so many of the slaves stayed on the plantations and continued to be slaves, mostly because that's all they knew. And at that time, although they were declared free, they were still considered slaves, as they were not going to be allowed to integrate into white society. Now, to me, it was a total joke that as Jim Crow was still in full force at the time, slaves were freed. Because after all, again, we're talking about 157 years ago. Now, if you think things were bad now, imagine what it must have been like back then. Now, yesterday I watched the movie, shout out to Sean Williams, was good. Yesterday I watched the movie Green Book. Now, you know, if you check your history, and if you want to look up Green Book, it wasn't just a movie. Green Book was a book that was published by black folks back in the day. Now, some towns back then were considered sundown towns. Now, what sundown towns meant was, like, black folks weren't supposed to be out after dark. And so somebody got the idea, black folks got the idea to publish this book, much like the number books back in the 70s. And the Green Book specified towns that black folks should not be caught outside after dark in. And that's where the name of the movie came from, Green Book, because they did have a Green Book in the car. Now, watch this movie. And it was supposedly based on a true story about a hard-nosed Italian guy who was the driver for a black concert pianist, who at the time was considered, shout out to Bunny McKnight, love you, my brother, shout out to Myra Lewis. Now, Green Book was a movie about a white man who was the driver for a black concert pianist, who at the time was considered the best concert pianist in the world, classical music. And so he played Mozart and Brahms and Beethoven for mostly white audiences, as white folks loved classical music. Now, the white people really loved the music that he was playing. But what disturbed me was the part of the movie where when he arrived at the concert hall and when he asked for them to show him where his dressing room was, it was a filthy broom closet with mops and stuff in it. This is the dressing room that they had set up for this black man. And when it was time for him to eat, they wouldn't allow him to eat in the main dining hall. And it was suggested that he eat his dinner in this filthy broom closet at the time of the computer. So I watched this movie. And if you haven't seen it, you know, I know a lot of us black folks, when we see this kind of stuff, we get a little bit upset because it's disturbing, to say the least. It's very disturbing about how black folks were treated back in the day. I mean, this is after the Emancipation Proclamation. So black folks were supposedly, they were supposedly freed, because we know that there was a war, the Civil War, where there were folks who, white folks who were abolitionists, and they thought that owning people, no matter what color they were, was wrong. And there were white folks who wanted to keep the slavery. Now, it's strange as it may seem, back at the time, it was the Republicans, the same Republicans that we all hate today, the dirty Republicans, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump and some of the other, you know, people who call themselves Republicans. It was the Republicans who were the abolitionists back in the day. And the white folks who wanted slavery to continue were Democrats. The Democrats that we all love, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and some of the other folks who are Democrats. So it was the Democrats who wanted slavery to continue, not the Republicans. Republicans wanted slavery to stop. And it's funny how today, in today's society, how we black Americans overwhelmingly vote for the Democrats when it was the Democrats who wanted to keep slavery going. So yesterday I went to the Great American Emancipation Day Awards banquet. It was hosted by Liz Black, who was on 107.5 WPLS and WLIB. We had a great time and met Hazel Dukes. Hazel Dukes is she's the president of the New York State chapter of the NAACP. And, you know, and I just the NAACP, in my opinion, has lost its way or lost its effectiveness, to say the least, because now, I mean, the NAACP hasn't really done much for black folks, for colored people, as they still say in their, that's what NAACP is for. It stands for National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And the NAACP, even though, you know, I met the lady and she's nice, and I met her and I shook her hand and I spoke to her for a few minutes, Hazel Dukes, who is the president of the New York State chapter of the NAACP. Some of you may have heard of her. And, you know, I really have a problem with the NAACP today, because they just, you know, in my estimation, they just don't do much for black folks. So it was 157 years ago yesterday that the Emancipation Proclamation, declared by Abraham Lincoln in January 1st, 1863, 157 years ago. And now you can imagine how things were back then. Shout out to Stephanie Freitas, and shout out to all the people who, Sharon Allen Chambers and Lamont Gates and some of the other folks who check out the Ron Kelly Show from week to week, Thursday nights. You know what time it is, 7 p.m. It's you and me and Blog Talk Radio. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show. So that's the hit. It was 157 years ago. Yesterday was the anniversary, 157th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, I watched the interview with the great Dr. Martin Luther King, who I wonder, what would he think about the plight of the black folks today? Shout out to Mark Fowler, my brother, wants to put me in a movie. we'll talk about that. Shout out to you, my brother. So, you know, I watched an interview with Dr. Martin Luther King, and he was being interviewed. I think it was 60 Minutes at the time, a long time ago. And Dr. Martin Luther King was so brilliant in how he approached, how thoughtful and how brilliant he was when he spoke. And he talked about folks saying that black people need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And what's good, my bro? Good to see you, my brother. And Dr. Martin Luther King talked about how white folks were telling black folks they need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. And Dr. Martin Luther King was so brilliant when he said in that piece that, you know, if a person doesn't have boots, they can't pull themselves up by the bootstraps. So you can't expect a bootless person to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. You know, and we blame a lot of, I got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the black anti-Semitism, or, you know, the nonsense that's being perpetrated out here, that black folks are antithetical to Jews. And we all know, I mean, what problem do black folks have with the Jews? I just don't get it. I mean, I don't understand why this nonsense is being perpetrated on all the major television networks. Are they still talking about, you know, what happened in Muncie, New York, where the man who crashed the party with a machete and set upon these Jewish folks who were celebrating the Jewish holiday. And he went into their house and he cut up a bunch of people. And I saw the one man who was severely injured. They showed the man in his hospital bed. He had tubes running on in and out of him, and he was in a coma, I believe he was. And so, you know, this notion that black folks have something to do, and this is not a racial show, and many of the people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show, overwhelming majority of people who listen to the Ron Kelly Show are white people. And I get emails and I hear from white folks who appreciate the education that they get from listening to the Ron Kelly Show, because we're not, you know, this isn't a black show, and I don't want it to be a black show. This show is for everybody, white, black, because we want white folks to understand where black people are coming from, and not with anger and hatred and stuff like that. We want white people to understand where black people are, why black people feel the way they do. And we don't want to, you know, propagate hate or anything like that. So there's this notion, the narrative right now is that black folks have a problem with Jews. There's many Jews who are being attacked in New York City. New York City is the mecca for Jewish folks. You have your Orthodox Jews and the Hasidim and you have these folks who are being attacked. And some of them are being attacked by teenagers who are just jumping on the bandwagon. There is no issue with black folks and Jews. There is zero issue, none. And it just, you know, it annoys me that, you know, the news media is putting forth this narrative. The mayor of Jersey City, where the shooting took place a couple weeks ago, where the two people who were thought to be members of the Black Israelites, they were made out to be members of the Black Israelite movement. And, you know, now there's this whole thing going on where the narrative is being pushed forward that black folks have a problem with Jews. Black folks never had a problem with Jews. Never. It's ridiculous that people would say stuff like that. But see, but, you know, this takes away from white supremacists? Is that the idea here, that if we push this narrative about black folks having problems with Jews, does that take away from the white supremacists and Trump and, you know, and some of the other the hatred that Trump has perpetrated on our society since he's been president? Because you remember Trump took out full-page ads in the New York Daily News back in the day for the Central Park Five, Donald Trump was one of the biggest advocates for punishment for these young men. Yousef Salaam, who I did meet at a memorial that I hosted for a young brother who was killed by two police officers in Garfield, New Jersey. Shout out to Shirley Cuxaldi, I believe that's her name is now. She's married. Shout out to her. And her son was killed by Garfield, New Jersey police officers a few years ago. I was really heavily into that. I did I hosted the memorial for this young man who lost his life. And I also hosted a rally. We did a live broadcast from shout out to Bonnie McDowell, who says, yeah, except when they are your landlord. You see, and this is the thing. You know, this is nonsense. This is total nonsense that black folks have a problem with Jews. Now, I saw some clips of some young African-Americans attacking Jews. And, you know, and I really don't think, I mean, they're just troublemakers. I don't believe that those people, because they're too young to even understand the relationship that black folks have had with Jews over the years. And we have the problem with Jews. But this is the nonsense that's being propagated. You see it all on the television about, and I heard on the radio this morning, just sent me to another level. Because I don't normally call into other radio shows. But I was tempted to call it this radio show and blast off on this twerpy little toad who was pushing this narrative that black folks single out Jews. Now, black folks have never really attacked anybody. I don't remember black folks, even back in the day with the Black Panthers and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, they talked, the Black Panthers, and I interviewed some of the new Black Panthers. Now, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to act upon it. And even back in the day, yeah, I'm trying to scroll this up so I can see everybody who's watching the program. So that's why I put my finger on this. Hey, shout out to Barbara Payton. Yeah, Happy New Year, my sister. It's good to hear from you. And so, yeah, so this is what's being pushed now. And, you know, now what happened, it's just out of control right now with this nonsense about black folks having a problem with Jews. We never had a problem with Jews. Jews, as far as I know, have never did anything to us. And, you know, there's so much fake news going out here, running around here on social media. The fakest of fake news and the biggest propagators of fake news is us, you know, because you see this stuff. You see, like me, when I do my show prep and I look at, you know, because I scroll through social media and see what's trending and see what people are talking about, because that's what makes this show what it is. And I see the fakest nonsense that a lot of us are just posting and posting. You see, because all they have to do is put it out there. And then they can rely on us. You know, Happy New Year, Brother Shaw Williams. Happy New Year. Those of us who are on Facebook post the most ridiculous nonsense, and we don't know whether any of this is true. Now, me, when I'm doing my show prep, I make sure that, you know, I go to great lengths to make sure that the stuff I'm talking about is something that actually happened. But you look on Facebook and you scroll through the news feed, and I see the most ridiculous, the craziest, the dumbest nonsense that a lot of us are posting on Facebook. And then when we post it, we have nothing to say about it. You know, we just post it like we're trying to get a reaction out of people. And this is very dangerous. This is very, very dangerous. Shout out to Lamar Gates, my brother, Real Social Talk, Blog Talk Radio. Some of you might remember him, and a former co-host of the Ron Kelly Show. And, you know, and so this fake news, because Trump is right about fake news. Now, as far as like where it's coming from, I mean, who knows? But the social media structure is being infiltrated by people, you know, Russia and China. There's all kinds of narratives being pushed. And the biggest purveyors of fake news is us. It's us. Because we're the ones that repost and repost and repost this crazy nonsense. And You know, a lot of these stories that are being put out here are not true. They're just not true. But we get on Facebook and we post this stuff. It's crazy. I'm like, I just shake my head with some of the stuff that I read and some of the people and some of y'all I know personally who post this stuff. And I'm not saying I'm not the president of Facebook and I'm not going to tell anybody what to post. But it's just the craziest nonsense that we are posting, and we're posting this stuff for reaction to see what people say. We post it for attention. A lot of us don't give a damn about some of the stuff that we're posting, but we post it anyway to get somebody's reaction. And a lot of this stuff that's going out on Facebook is being posted by us. So all that people have to do is put it out there, and you can bet your bottom dollar that some of us are going to post this craziness on Facebook. And this is part of the problem, how the fake news is being promoted by many of us. So we take a quick break. Boy, time is flying by. It's already 17. It's already 23 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break because I'm running late a little bit. So we'll take a quick break and we'll talk back. I'll get right back to you with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out Gil Maisto, my brother. Shout out to you, man. Miss you too, man. We're going to come down there. I'm going to surprise you. Well, I'm not going to surprise you because you live too far away for me to be just dropping it and not telling you, but we're definitely going to come by. We'll come down to Tom's River one day and we're going to hang out at the local smoke shop. And do our thing. Anyway, 25 minutes past the hour, you're listening to, watching, perusing The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. All right, some of you probably heard about this police officer. And again, you know, and I'm not anti-police. We need the police. Imagine if we didn't have police, you know, remember the movie The Purge? If we didn't have police, we'd be living The Purge. So I'm definitely a police supporter, and I appreciate some of the police officers who I know who have not unfriended me over some of the stuff I say, because I'm a police supporter. Let's not get that twisted. Okay, so shout out to A.P. Albert. My brother Albert was on 8 to 10, I believe it is. Check out my boy Albert as he spins the wheels every Wednesday, I believe it is 8 to 10. And I'll give you more information about him as we move along here. So the police officer was sentenced to just 2 weeks in jail, 2 weeks for trespassing and assault while on vacation in 2018. Now, what I'm hearing is that this is right off the presses, that he resigned. Now, this man, Michael Reynolds, was accused of using a racial slur against a Nashville woman during a home break-in in which the then officer barged into the house next to the one that he and his friends was renting, a bachelor party. Yeah, he was informed on the 30th that he needed to report to headquarters for the disciplinary process. But as it turned out, he resigned from the shout out to you, my brother. Love you, man. Albert Vega. I can't think of the station that he's on. Put it up there, Albert, so I can say it. DYMusicRadio.com. That's it. DYMusicRadio.com. And you can always check out my boy, Albert Vega, on Facebook Live. Wednesday night, 8 to 10, I believe it is, Eastern Time, on DY Music Radio and on the Facebook, the Facebook Live feed. Now, this officer, he won't receive a pension or benefits, and he won't be allowed to carry a firearm. Now, I was going to blast off on this guy, you know, but he blew my spot up because he did resign, so it's a dead issue right now. But he was found guilty in Tennessee, 3 counts of assault with fear of bodily injury and 1 count of aggravated criminal trespass. Now, he barged into a house where black folks lived and called them all kinds of N-words and stuff like that. And he was sentenced to 15 days in jail in order to pay $1,000 in court costs. Now, after his term, they will start in... should be started by January 15th. January 15th actually is, I believe it's Dr. Martin Luther King Day. And at his turn, he will be an unsupervised probation for 3 years. So that settles that. I know that Danette Chavis was screaming about this. My sister who is doing her thing in New York City, who has a son who was, not necessarily killed by the police, but her son was died in an altercation with police. Now, whether they killed him or not is still up in the air. But shout out to her and keep work my sister. So you know, it's just, oh, another one drops the dust. Another one bites the dust. Julian Castro, who was one of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side, has decided to suspend his campaign. Now, I don't know why they say suspend. What they should be saying is, I'm done. You know, yeah, dymusicradio.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Albert Vega doing his thing, spinning the wheels for you on dymusicradio.com and on Facebook Live. Okay, people who support Donald Trump, for example, are mostly white folks, you know. Now, there's a lot of people in this country who feel the way Donald Trump does. You know, they feel the way he does. They feel in Donald Trump, and they feel him, and he has given a voice to the people who have always felt like that, but because it wasn't fashionable to be anti-Semitic and anti-black and anti-immigrant, and somebody accused me of being anti-immigrant. I'll get to that in a minute. But it's Donald Trump has been the hero for the folks who for the white supremacists. And what he's doing is, like, for example, when the young lady got ran over in the dueling protests in Charlottesville, and the young lady was killed by some white supremacists who drove his car through the crowd, ran over this young lady. And Donald Trump at the time said, well, there's good people on both sides. Now, see, nobody should be surprised at what Donald Trump says or does. Nobody should be surprised. This is the same Donald Trump who's existed for many years. Now, because he's the president of the United States, his rhetoric is under the microscope now because he's the president. But this is the same Donald Trump who said that that the Central Park Five were guilty. This is the same Donald Trump who said that President Obama at the time was a Kenyan. You know, this is the same guy. So everybody's, you know, I have noticed that on Facebook and on social media, a lot of people have gotten tired, I guess, of beating the drum about Donald Trump, because this is who he is, and he's always been who he is. Again, it's magnified because he's the president of the United States. but he's always been who he has been. So there's no, you know, there's nothing new here. Nothing to see, folks. Like they say, there's nothing new here because he is who he's always been. He's always been someone who just, not like, he's always been someone who just didn't give a damn about nothing. But anyway, again, once again, shout out to the folks who I met yesterday at the celebration, I guess you can call it, of it was called the Great American Emancipation Day Awards Banquet that I attended yesterday and met some good folks. And I had a chance to meet, not just for a second, Hazel Dukes, who's the president of the NAACP. You know, there was a member of the board of directors of the National Action Network headed up by Reverend Al Sharpton was supposed to be there, but they did not show up. So to accept their award, and there was nobody there to accept the award for him. And I kind of, you know, that really wasn't really that much surprised at that. All right, 8686, you know, I never get the phone number out. Somebody emailed me the other day and said I never get the phone number out. So I'll give it out right now at 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838 if you want to holler at me on the Ron Kelly Show. Also, you can email me. It's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. That's theronkellyshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a message at the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page, or you can check me out on YouTube, the Ron Kelly Show YouTube page. So we got it all together here, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So yeah, so we got this thing going on now with this notion that black folks are going after Jews. Just totally ridiculous. Just absolutely. I'm just shaking my head like, what? This is crazy. Because black folks have never gone after Jews. Shout out to Bunny McKnight who mentioned about Jews being landlords. You know, the funny thing is that the scheme that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio had of shipping the homeless folks out of New York, giving a one-shot deal, pay their rent for a year, and getting rid of them. Now, I think it's smart. You know, I mean, I'm not an advocate of it, but it's smart. You know, shout out to Al Elliott. You know, check out Cam Ellie. You know, check out my boy Al Elliott, Cam Ellie, where you can see it on Facebook. And you know, you can, you know, you know, y'all need to support this brother. You know, support this brother. He designs sportswear and casual wear, I should say. You know, so you should check him out. You know, I've seen some of his stuff. You know, I've worn some of his, I own some of his stuff, some of the stuff that he's made that I've worn right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So check out Al Elliott, Cam Ellie. Check him out. Okay. So next, in a couple of weeks, is going to be the Martin Luther King holiday. And Arizona, where Senator John McCain was a senator in Arizona. Arizona was the very last state. Arizona held out for a long time and would not refuse to make Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday a holiday. So in a couple of weeks is going to be his birthday. I mean, Martin Luther King Day, January 15th. Now, I don't know if that was actually his birthday, but it's going to be Dr. King's Day. And you kind of wonder what Dr. King would think if he saw what was going on in the black community today. I mean, would he say, damn, I wasted my time? You know, would he be appreciative of the efforts that black folks have made over the years, of the 52 years since he was executed by some white folks, basically? Now, we don't know exactly who, but you know, I think you can lay this at the feet of the former FBI, director of the FBI at the time. You see, because Dr. King, and I'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, I have something I'm putting together for to celebrate the memory of this great black man, Dr. King. You see, so Dr. King, nobody is afraid of the people, nobody's afraid of Jesse Jackson or Reverend Al Sharpton. They know that these people, you know, much respect to them for whatever you know, the efforts that they're making on our behalf. But nobody's afraid of Dr. King. I mean, nobody's afraid of Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton, because white folks know that Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are not having, not even close to the effect that Dr. Martin Luther King had on black folks. See, because Dr. Martin Luther King was dangerous to the white folks, the underground at the time. He was dangerous because Dr. Martin Luther King, see, didn't talk about violence. You see, they welcomed the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers taught violence. They taught separatism. They taught all kinds of stuff. So white folks were okay with that. That was okay. But when Dr. Martin Luther King came along and started talking about white folks and black folks being together, you know, when Dr. Martin Luther King made his probably his most famous speech, probably one of the most famous speeches ever, at the March on Washington back in the day, Dr. Martin Luther King spoke about white folks and black folks being together, little black boys and little black girls, I mean, little black boys and little white boys being together, and that sort of stuff. And then nobody wanted that. You know, nobody was like, oh, hell no. We don't want that. We don't want white folks and black folks to be together. We don't want racial harmony. We want things to stay the way they are. So that's why the white folks at the time decided that Dr. Martin Luther King was a liability, that he was preaching togetherness. Now, if Dr. Martin Luther King was a Black Panther, he may not have gotten killed. Because if Dr. Martin Luther King preached violence against white folks, he may not have gotten killed, because that's what they wanted. That's what the white folks wanted. They didn't want racial harmony. They didn't want people to be together. They didn't want black folks and white folks to work together. They didn't want that. They wanted black folks and white folks to be at each other's throats, much like, for the most part, we are right now. You know, and you see now I've talked to some people, you know, I get emails and stuff like that. People email me from all over the United States of America about some of the stuff that I talk about. And white folks, I mean, everybody who's white is not a separatist. Everybody who's white is not a racist. I've talked to many of them. I have thousands of likes on my Facebook page from, they come from white people from all over the country, from Utah and North Dakota and Nevada and places, Alabama, you know. And I get so many likes because when you get a like, you can see, well, on the commercial page, you can see where the people are from. And I see many folks, white folks, who listen to the Ron Kelly show, and they are not anti-black, and they're not anti-Semites. There's a lot of good people out there, so let's get that straight. It's not all, you know, white folks are out to get us and out to kill us. No, it's not true at all. There are many more white folks than black folks who partake of the Ron Kelly show every Thursday night here at 7 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com. But you see, now, and some folks have said to me, well, you know, black folks in particular have said to me, well, you know, every time something happens to a Jew, the police flood the neighborhoods with folks, with police officers to try to protect these people. You know, now see, now the thing with that is that, you know, when most of the Jewish people dress the same, they look the same, they dress the same, and they don't perpetrate violence against each other for the most part. They don't do that. And so, and somebody was asking me, well, why don't, you know, when something happens in the black community, why don't police officers flood the black community? Well, because I asked somebody the other day, I said, now, if you see a white person in the black community, especially in the hood, the first thing you think is that person is looking for drugs. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. And me myself, when I see white people, if they're a little bit unsheveled and they're not clean and stuff like that, you know, they're probably white kids who have drug habits, who have been abandoned by their family. You see them in the city of Paterson, New Jersey, for example, where I used to live, and you see them out there begging for change and stuff like that. Now, these are white people who have been abandoned by their families because of their drug use. They just threw up their hands and said, oh, well, that's it. So when you see a white person in the black community, they stand out right away, you know, so you know what they're up to. And that's why a lot of them get caught, because you know what they're up to. But now in the black community, because we perpetrate so much violence against each other, you can't tell who's violent from who's peaceful. You can't tell. So, you know, it's difficult for law enforcement to go into a black community and try to stop violence, because black folks perpetrate violence against each other. Now, if you go into Bed-Stuy, or you go into Williamsburg, where there are hundreds of thousands of Jews who live there, and if somebody who's not a Jew shows up in their neighborhood, I mean, not that they're going to do the stop and frisk on them or anything like that, but you see, like, okay, this person is not from around here. And I'm not saying that, you know, you might be going to the store, or you might be passing through the neighborhood or going for a walk or whatever. I'm not saying that police should seize upon you because you look different from the people who live there, but at least it gives them some kind of, you know, something to go on. But in the black community, you can't tell who's getting ready to rob who, because black folks perpetrate violence against each other. So it's hard to prevent violence when the very people that you're protecting or trying to protect perpetrate violence against each other. You know, so, you know, we've got a long way to go as far as black folks have a long way to go as far as like getting ourselves together, because we perpetrate a lot of violence against each other. And you see how, you know, fights break out on Facebook if somebody says something the other person doesn't like. Oh, it's a war. And it can go on forever. People shooting shots at each other and stuff like that. And there's a lot of folks who don't do that. So we've got, you know, we as black people have a long way to go in regards to, you know, getting some unity, you know, in our communities. When I come back, I'm going to talk about the power of the black dollar and how unnecessary these boycotts that we call ourselves calling against these companies. I'm going to talk about that when I come back from the break. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back and wrap this thing up. There's about 15 minutes left to the show. So everybody, don't touch that dial. Just hang in with me for just a few more minutes, and then I'll release you to go ahead and handle your business. Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2020. Let's flip things around. Let's get our ish together. So we'll take a quick break and come right back with more. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh, no. I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, Don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Suzette Cook, who's watching the program. Shout out to Albert Vega, who says it's the young knuckleheads that are doing stupid stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, and this is a possible task to get people to come together. Yes, it is. It's right. There's so much dissension in the Black community. It's just unbelievable how, I mean, just how the apathy is ridiculous, you know, where folks are just saying, well, whatever. You know, there's going to be a documentary on the DC sniper. God, I can't do this. Before I go on, a shout out to Javonna Cree, who won an award yesterday. He's the founder of IMU Media Company. They do news and media production. Shout out to him. I spoke to him for a moment momentarily yesterday. And we may, just may, maybe do some business together. But, you know, I think that most of us have, well, let me back up for a second and talk about the boycotts that a lot of us call for. Boycott AT&T, boycott. You can't boycott these companies because somebody, shout out to Anthony Moriano, you can't boycott these companies because, you know, they're going to get their business anyway. So we talking about, you know, the first thing we talk about is boycotts. First of all, you need unity to have a boycott. There is none. There is none. You might have little pockets of folks who, want to do the right thing, but it's just pockets of folks. You know, it's just pockets of folks. You know, there was a demonstration about this man I talked about earlier, the New York City police officer, Michael Reynolds, who broke into a lady's house, a Black woman's house, and started using racial slurs and threatened her. There was a demonstration on the steps of City Hall today, New York City, Lower Manhattan. There were 24 people there. It was pitiful. 24 people. Two dozen people showed up. And there's just no, I mean, the streets should have been flooded with folks. Philando Castile and Eleanor Bumpers, the grandmother who a couple of decades ago was killed by New York City police officers, shotgun blast to this woman who was almost 70, Black woman, by the New York City Police Department. And, you know, which I think that Eleanor Bumpers did lead to the Crown Heights riots of New York City when David Dinkins was the first Black mayor of the city of New York. And I heard somebody say this morning that if David Dinkins allowed, oh, I can't take it, where somebody on the radio was saying that David Dinkins allowed the Crown Heights riots, you know, back in the day, it was the Javin Cato, was a young boy who was killed by a Jewish man, accidentally was run down. Javin Cato, you can Google his name. Javin Cato was the young boy, I think he was around 8 or 9 years old, who was killed by a Jewish man who was driving through Harlem. And the man did not stop. And he says he didn't stop because he was afraid that he would have gotten the crap beat out of him by the mob that showed up into the street when he after he hit this young boy. And it was Javin Cato. It was the death of Javin Cato by the Orthodox Jewish man who was driving that set off the Crown Heights riots. It wasn't what I was saying. I stand corrected. It was Javin Cato who was killed, and that started the riots in Crown Heights, in a heavily populated Jewish neighborhood during the David Dinkins' time as a mayor of the city of New York. And you see, you know, now let me get back to the boycotts did we talk about? Did we? First thing we say, oh, it's a boycott, boycott, boycott. Boycotts don't work. You see, because let's say there was 500,000 folks, black folks, who were the only customers of a company. Now, if half of those people stopped buying or purchasing anything from this company, it would hurt the bottom line. So you have to be able to hurt a company in order to affect change. You have to be able to hurt around. I saw somebody post recently about, shout out to Conrad Martin. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who said, yeah, he was driving the Rebbe, Menachem Schneerson, who was the king of Brooklyn back then. Yes, Lamont, thank you, Lamont. Rabbi Menachem Schneerson has passed away since then. He was a very old man at the time. And yeah, it was Rabbi Menachem Schneerson's driver who ran over Gavin Cato and kept going because he was afraid that he would be set upon by the black folks who assembled once this young man was, this young boy was killed. But you see, boycotts don't work because, you know, you have to, first of all, you have to have some unity, you know. Now, if all the black folks in America suddenly cancel their AT&T phone service, for example, it wouldn't hurt AT&T. Because AT&T is a multi-billion-dollar company. So if you stop using AT&T phone service, you know, AT&T also owns DirecTV. So you'd have to cut off your phone service, and if you have DirecTV, you'd have to cut off your TV service in order to cause any kind of ripple in the bottom line of some of these very large companies. So, you know, and some folks are just not going to do it. You know, we talk about boycotting, don't buy this for Christmas, boycott Amazon. It's not going to matter. The company's worth $1 trillion. So by us saying we're not going to order anything from Amazon anymore, they're just going to laugh. Like, so what? Who cares? And you've heard of companies, Tommy Hilfiger and some of the other companies, who didn't want black folks to buy their goods. I think there was something about Timberland who was upset because black folks were buying Timberland boots and not going to work in them. You know, you'd be standing on the corner, the boots are perfectly, you know, brand new, a lot of them not a scuff on them. And Timberland had a problem with young black men standing on the corner wearing their stuff. You know, now, because black folks wore Timberland, me personally, I don't wear them anymore because I think they're just out of style. But you have to be able to harm a company in order to affect change. Now, black folks not buying, not say everybody cut off the AT&T phone service is not going to hurt them. They're going to be like, so what? Because they got 160 million folks or more who subscribe to AT&T. And then, like I said, if you really want to, you know, you'd have to cut off your TV service too. And folks are just not going to do it. You know, we talk about buying black and all this type of stuff. And see, when we talk about buying black, when we separate ourselves from white folks, which is basically what we're doing when we talk about buying black. Now, you know, because most of us, when you need something, you got to turn to the white man to get it. When you need a mortgage, you got to go to the white man. When you need a loan for a car finance, you got to go to the white man. So, you know, the notion that people, you know, are propagating this stuff about buying black, I mean, you know, I can get it that, you know, that black folks should, you know, do business with each other. But, you know, like in a white neighborhood, like in the Jews, for example, they say the Jewish dollar circulates in the Jewish community 13 times or so before it, you know, before and if at all, if it leaves the community. 13 times. But black folks, our dollar goes right out of the community. straight out of the community. You know why? Because black folks are not, and see, you can say what you want to say about me. You know, you can say I'm anti-black or something like that, but the truth is the truth. And when you go into the black community, how many actual black folks do you see with businesses, like besides barbershops or hair salons? Because even the hair, you got to buy the hair from the Koreans, you know. So when you go into the store, you know, so many black women want long hair and they don't want to do it the old-fashioned way. They want to just buy it and toss it on. You got to go to the Koreans to buy it. When you go to get your nails done, you got to go to the Koreans. So when you go in the black community, you don't see black businesses. You see Koreans, you see, I would say Jews, but you see Koreans, you see, you know, Hispanics, you see all kinds of people except for black folks. So how can the black dollar circulate in the black community if there aren't many black businesses to begin with? You know, see, we have to stop with this white man this and white man that. Yeah, I mean, are there red lines, you know, with banking, and do black folks sometimes have to pay for more? I got into a discussion with somebody about, because somebody had posted a story about, about finance companies charging more for black people. I was part of the lawsuit that was filed against Ally Financial, because I had bought a car through Ally Financial, which I traded in. I don't have it anymore. And Ally Financial was found to be charging black folks more for blacks and minorities, charging them more for financing, even when they had good credit. So I got paid, you know, I was part of that the class action lawsuit, and I got paid. But my thing is, how did they know I was black? You know, because, you know, they sent me the information in the mail. Yeah, we're suing Ally Financial for hiking these finance charges against black folks, and I had good credit. So, you know, and I got paid, but how did they know I how did the people at Ally know I was black? I never can get over that. How did they know? It's just, my name is not Jenkins or something like that, where they can, you know, say, well, because, you know, black folks do have, a lot of times have black sounding names. And my name doesn't sound like a quote unquote black name. But somehow or another, they knew I was black. And did that, but they knew. Anyway, there's about 60 minutes left to the program, everybody. I zoomed through this. So I want to thank you all for listening. Everybody who partakes of the Ron Kelly Show, the folks all across America who listen to the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio and some of the other various media outlets. I'm on LinkedIn and YouTube and Instagram and Periscope and some of the other places where I show my wares. Anyway, thanks again, everybody, for listening to the Ron Kelly Show. Happy New Year. Let's make it a good one. You know, hey, I got some good news today. It's, you know, the year is starting out good. So we'll talk about that next week. It's about 26 left of the program. So, all right, everybody, be good with each other. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, we can certainly have it all. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm out of here.